Welcome to episode 1147 of the Geek News Central podcast. It is Monday, September 19th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Or you can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Or simply just paypal.me/geeknews. You always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, everyone, I got a great show lined up for you tonight. Man, I mean a lot to talk about. My Facebook purgatory, we'll talk about that. Muni Broadband Go Pro 5. We'll talk about some HP sabotage on Printer Ink. And then we're going to talk about an Uber rider that got booted. So lots to share tonight, lots to talk about. And hopefully we don't have too much background noise, although I keep hearing a little in the headset. I have way too many electronics laying around here. Should have isolated stuff just a little bit better. As a matter of fact, I'm going to move the iPads away so if that was causing an issue. But I am up on Facebook tonight with no, it's just using the mic from the Mac, nothing fancy. So if you're watching on Facebook and the audio sucks, just let me know on the site. Other words, it's not going to get much better than this today just because of the way the setup is here for the studio. And I am definitely, what? There we go. I think I found my, there it is, my audio problem. That's what happens when I only travel with the gear once in a while. Again, this is a remote show. I'm coming to you from Washington, D.C., and where I'm going to be for the next couple of days and then moving around. So I'm definitely outside of the regular studio. For those of you that are brand new to the show, this is typically a show that I do from my studio, again, in Honolulu, but again, remote. But if you're brand new, I want to welcome you. Of course, visit geeknewscentral.com. You can get subscribed to the show on the website and get signed up for the newsletter as well. And if you visit the website daily, my great team of writers over there are doing fantastic tech articles. So we want you to visit the site on a daily basis. I do this show every Monday and Thursday. So twice a week, the show comes out, plus a Saturday show with Rob Greenlee, do the new media show. And then when I have guests arranged, the Podcast Legends show is off and running. But if you have comments on today's show, you can email me, geeknews@gmail.com. Or if you want to reach out on Twitter, @geeknews. If you want to join our Slack channel, you can do so by sending an email to geeknews@gmail.com. And just let me know that you want to be in the Slack channel, and I will add you to that, where you can kind of hang out and be with the cool kids. Hey, you can follow on Google Plus or Facebook again. Well, at least you can now. You couldn't over the weekend, but just search for Todd Cochran and you'll find me. You can watch this show on the Roku. You can listen via the Tech Podcast channel, or you can watch or listen via Apple TV. You can listen on Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can subscribe via Stitcher or Blueberry.com, either one. And, of course, lots of partner shows to talk about. We've got No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. We've got Health Tech Weekly with Mr. Jamie Davis. We have The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain. We've got the Pro Gear site that's written by the GNC team. So definitely take that off. And, of course, tonight's show is sponsored by our good friends at GoDaddy.com. Longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast in the history of podcasting sponsors this show. They've been here since July of 2005. And ongoing support of the show is greatly appreciated. All the offers for GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, whether it be a 99-cent.com, whether it be a 30-day website builder trial with some support from the GoDaddy team, whether it be a hosting account with a managed WordPress site or just a standard hosting account. All that's available, all those links are available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy with all the promo codes. You can mix and match. That 99-cent.com is a one-time deal. If you don't use that code wisely, If you buy a domain name, if you buy a hosting account, you get a free domain with that as well. So you kind of kill two birds with one stone. So definitely check out all the deals at geeknewscenter.com/GoDaddy. Want to thank again GoDaddy for being a long-time sponsor of this podcast, supporting us, keeping the lights on, allowing me to do what I do. So again, big thanks to them. All right, just a little update. The last show, obviously, was all surrounding, and I was talking about the death of my mother-in-law and getting you guys kind of up to speed on what was going on there. There was really no tech news per se. So we wrapped up on Thursday night just fine. Everything was good. I had posted a couple things that my wife had sent me. She had asked me to make sure that some of the stuff I was posting only went to family, not public. And I had made some changes to a couple of Facebook posts. Nothing major, just reclassifying from public to family. And lo and behold, off to bed I went Thursday night, and Friday morning I got up at my normal time, and I couldn't log into Facebook. And it said I had to do a security check. And it was struck me as kind of funny because I thought, this is odd. Why do they want me to do a security check? And I initially thought it was a scam. I thought it was some fraud. I thought the hyperlink had been hijacked. So I went and did a couple of Google searches, and sure enough, this thing's the real deal. So what they ask for is a couple of forms of ID. In my case, I took a picture of my driver's license. They tell you to block out the number. They want to see your name, your date of birth, and your picture. So I sent that up to Facebook, figuring this would be resolved in a couple of hours. And sure enough, a couple of hours later, they emailed me back and said, oh, this cannot be confirmed. Your date of birth is wrong. And I got to thinking a little bit, and I said, yeah, that's correct. Because when I had originally, and this was my initial thought Friday morning, was, when I signed up for Facebook, I didn't use my actual birth date. I was worried about, I'm online and public. A lot of people know my birthday, but I don't go around like having it work pops up on people's pages on my, birthday notification date. It just, you're just asking for trouble. All it takes is one dumbass, and you've got an identity theft issue. So I had not put my correct birth date. And, but they were pretty adamant that the name and the date of birth and the picture had to match. Well, they sent me to another page where they said, here's an alternate way to submit. And you can submit an ID with your correct birth date and a credit card. And you can submit those two things. So I submitted those two things. Same driver's license with a credit card, thinking, okay, this is the next step. And I, all day Friday, nothing happened. All day Saturday, nothing happened. I, basically was getting a little bit weirded out, thinking at this point, and be honest with you, pissed. I had already sent out a plea for help to Robert Scoble and a couple other folks, ask and say, hey, can you, let them know I'm me? And this is not just some, fake account after, years of posting on Facebook and having my, all my business pages linked to it. I was in a little bit of a panic, and it was pretty obvious Facebook doesn't work on weekends. At least their support team doesn't. So on Sunday, I said, okay, I'm not going to let this go to chance. So I got my passport, I got my retired military ID, I got my driver's license, I got two credit cards, and I photographed them in like one big decoupage, and then went through and blacked out all the stuff that they said that they didn't want to see, and uploaded that image, and just waited. So in the meantime, my profile's not accessible. I'm like, I don't exist. I haven't existed on Facebook. I actually sent an email to the Ohana via the newsletter asking if anyone knew anybody at Facebook to help me out. You know, and if any of you did, thank you. But about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time today, I got an email back from Facebook. Oh, thank you for verifying your account, blah, blah, blah. You're on, and you know, here's the things you can do to prevent your account from being scrutinized in the future. Number one, use your real name. I've always done that. Number two, make sure your picture matches your profile, okay? Number three, don't to send friend requests to people that aren't friends. Well, I haven't sent any friend requests in a long time, so that wasn't an issue. I think number four was the date of birth. So I'm back in Facebook, and I'm saying, okay, I'm going to go ahead and comply. And I had to search online on how to figure out where to even change my birth date. And I went into settings, and sure enough, guess what? My birthday was the right birthday. It wasn't, and I had told my mom, I had told her that I thought I changed this some time ago. I thought I had updated it, but you know, I wasn't 100% sure. So anyway, long story short, the accounts turned back on. But what have I told all of you for many years? Especially I tell this to podcasters. I've told you, number one, don't trust your brand to any third-party site. And I was eating a little humble pie over the weekend because one of the Ohana told me on Twitter, hey, Todd, you've always told us, own your brand. And I've told podcasters before, make sure you own your brand on .com. Don't put stuff on Facebook that you might lose in the future. You know, all these things. We've talked about this on this show. I've talked about it on the new media show. So here's the end solution, or here's the end comment about Facebook. I don't know why my account was flagged. I don't know why I had to go through a security check. And it took me 3 days to get things turned back on. It was a nice little Facebook break. It also showed me, number one, how much time I was spending on Facebook. I went through a little bit of Facebook withdrawal. Honestly, I did. I felt like someone, you know, I'd already suffered a death in the family, so I had this, you know, piled on me. Then and the emotions of trying to communicate with family, letting them know what was going on, because I was the conduit. Stuff was coming from family via an app called Line. I was downloading the pictures and, you know, posting stuff on Facebook so that the greater family could see stuff. So I was pissed that I couldn't share what was going on with my family. And, you know, a little bit of self-righteousness, like, how dare they took my account off? You know, I'm a Facebook nobody. You know, let's be honest, with millions and millions of people using Facebook, I'm just another dude. So, you know, long story short, you know, I'm definitely not Facebook royalty or anything like that. I'm just, you know, just some guy. And, but it was like, how dare they, right? And, but it goes back again. If you had pictures that you have put on Facebook that you don't have backed up, shame on you. I don't have that situation. You know, if you have pictures, if you have a business account or business page linked to your personal profile, make sure that you authorize other user accounts to get to that business profile page. I had not. You know, I was sole owner of the page, sole owner of the, so I could, you know, this, if this had went sideways, I could have lost everything. I could have lost my Geek News Central page. I could have lost stuff from Tech Podcast Network. Blueberry is managed by another account that the Blueberry team has, so that page wouldn't have been lost. But there was, you know, three or four things in all my group functions and, you know, building up contacts over the years. All those friends would have been gone, and I would have had to start from scratch. So it was definitely a lesson learned here that Facebook, from, you know, they have to do what they have to do for whatever reasons they do it. And I'm not here to second guess why. I'm happy to have my account back, actually quite relieved. But here's a couple of things that you all need to pay attention to. Make sure your name on your Facebook profile is exactly as it is on your driver's license or passport or some sort of official ID. Number two, make sure that your date of birth that you have on your account, year, date, month, day, and year matches, because you may not. I had fully resigned myself to my account having been lost forever. I don't know if SCO will help me get back online. I'm sure it's a combination of things, maybe. I had put in an email that I had sent to Facebook on the final big collage verification that, you know, the reason for what I had thought was the different birth date, why I had put a different birth date. In the end, the birth date matched. So I don't know why the first verification email didn't go through. I don't know. Well, I do know that on the second email, there was a person's name on the email where the first email, it looked like a robot. So maybe the robot couldn't read the ID, and I've got a Hawaii driver's license that, be honest with you, has had, you know, better days. So maybe they couldn't read the ID as well as the robot could have, and it just didn't match up. I don't know. I don't care. Remember Facebook owns your profile. You don't own your profile, and they can take it away. Just like that, it can be gone, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing, you can do. So anyway, so that's it on the Facebook thing. I'm glad I'm back. Little self medicine here on being aware. And if some of you've done a different birth date on Facebook because you've worried about privacy things, you know, that's maybe the price here of using their service and following their terms of service and everything that goes along with it. But I'm glad to be out of purgatory. Don't want it to happen again. You know, we rely on this thing. We are a bunch of Facebook junkies. You know, let's be honest with you. And the first 24 hours, I was sick to my stomach about having gotten cut off. And that's not the kind of reaction that is healthy for a online service. I should be like, yeah, whatever. But little humbling for me, to be honest with you. Eat a little humble pie. And so I went through today and made sure everything is square. And I appreciate everyone's nice comments. And thank you for the emails on my mother-in-law's death, and Shoko's still in Japan. She's extended a few days. She'll be coming home with my daughter. So this is an interesting deal. I had this trip planned. I was going to call it off, but I kept it going, and she changed travel plans at the last minute. And so my oldest son is home, and he's the one that's taking care. So two boys in the house. And my son driving my younger one to school. I've been spending, right at 6 a.m. Honolulu Standard Time, I was on Nest looking to see if they actually heard their alarm and actually got out of bed. And I was relieved at 6:05. I saw the boys moving, so that told me that they were going to get out of the house and get to school on time. I don't even want to know what the house looks like at this point. I know that they'll probably do a cleanup on Wednesday, but, I flew out Saturday night, and it was a kind of a crazy day Saturday anyway. And I had told Chris, I said, do you want to order pizza? Go ahead and order pizza. Well, he didn't use a coupon code or anything. So, Papa John's, you did well. You did well Saturday night. And a pizza in Hawaii without a coupon is like $23. So he ordered two pies. So I talked to him on the phone, and I was like, did you give the pizza guy a tip? And he didn't give me a real clear answer. I said, Chris, please tell me that you gave the pizza guy a tip. I said, how much did you give him? And he says, I gave him $6. I'm like, whew, because if you don't tip your pizza guy, They go back to the store and they put you a code in, and they code you in as a cheapskate. And the next time you get a pie from them, it's going to be cold. So, I'm thankfully he tipped the pizza guy. So, yeah, I think it was $50 for two pies. But, okay, I'm not going to complain. I told him to order pizza. 12-year-old doesn't know he should use coupons. So, left him cash, so it's okay. They're gonna. So I'm a little bit nervous with the boys being there, but you know my son's an adult, so as long as they don't throw parties, I think we're okay. All right. So hey, tonight I'm just using Wirecast on the Mac to come to Facebook Live, and no microphone hookup or nothing. I just kind of thought I would do this at the last minute. But here in my hotel room, probably the AC is going to kick on before we get done. But anyway, that's what's going on. And I think that's all of the stuff that I wanted to talk about. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go ahead and get into the tech part of the show. And we will actually talk about some tech news. You guys know that I've been a big defender of Muni broadband. Where I grew up, actually the town over from where I grew up in Coldwater, Michigan, they have had Muni broadband for many, many years. And we know the FCC back in February voted to use its congressional mandate to ensure speedy broadband deployment and really supporting Muni broadband. But we know that the FCC recently found itself swatted down by the courts. As a result, Muni broadband providers continue to run face first into protectionist provisions that are by the cable providers, the Time Warners, the AT&Ts of the world. So the impact of the FCC loss is very, very real. And I've told all of you that if you support Muni broadband, that you need to pick up the phone and call your state legislature, and you need to tell them that you are a proponent of Muni broadband and get them on the record on how they're going to support Muni broadband, especially if you live in South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky. Those are big states that have Muni broadband deployments. Well, Wilson, North Carolina has had to, a company called Greenlight, has had to disconnect one neighborhood face violating state law. This town was getting 1 gigabit internet connections from the provider, but the ISPs basically have said, you can't do this. You can't come in and provide Muni broadband. You can't compete with us. The city councils were very vocal in their opposition to the law and regret having to discontinue the service. But these people are screwed. And most of them were on DSL. Previously, the community only had access to sluggish DSL from CenturyLink. So this town already had fiber in the ground, and their electric provider was the one that was bringing in Muni broadband. So here you have now people that were connected to broadband, that were getting fantastic internet connections at a reasonable price. The line has been severed, and now they got to go back to the ISP to get DSL. That is like going from modern times to the Stone Ages. And I know many of you are not on broadband connections. But once you've been given the taste of broadband speeds, it is a bitter pill to have to go backwards. So again, if you live in North Carolina, South Carolina, Kentucky, Georgia, Tennessee, I believe even out in certain areas in Colorado, if you hear or sniff or smell or anything about Muni broadband, you need to pick up the phone. And let's say you live in a city, you got big fat pipe. You need to think about those that don't. So please, please, please do me a favor today, especially if you live in North Carolina. You need to get on the phone and scream your bloody head off. And make your legislators put together legislation that will support Muni broadband. This is the only way that we're going to get some small towns in America wired up for speed, because AT&T, Time Warner, all these other companies, they could give two craps whether or not people in these small towns and little areas have high-speed internet. So this is just horrible. It tells you the power of the internet service providers, especially, you know, it goes on and on. All right, the bandwagon continues to, people are now getting on the bandwagon to asking the president to pardon Edward Snowden. And some people want to give the man a medal. You guys all know my personal opinion on this. You know, I'd much rather see two bullets to this guy's head or him coming back and serving justice for being a traitor, you know, for doing what he did, breaking his oath to the American government. I'm not a fan of this guy. I understand the appeal for people to call him a hero. I understand that completely, but the damage, the absolute damage that he has imposed will cause years and years and years of reverberations. So don't call me a fan. You know, if just the way it is, it's the way I feel on this guy, and I don't think anything is going to change that anytime soon. All right, Gizmodo's got a good write-up on this new Nikon, competitor to the GoPro. It's called the Key Mission 360. It's a waterproof camera that has been rolled out by Nikon. That's gotten some pretty good reviews. It's also got, there's a sister to it called the Key Mission 170. So lots of these cameras are coming out at the very same time that the GoPro, the brand new GoPro Hero 5, has been rolled out and, you know, totally waterproof. And I think they had to really step the game up on the GoPro Hero 5 because, you know, companies like Nikon and so forth are knocking on their door. This is a 4K camera. It's voice activated, so you don't actually have to push the record button. You can tell it to record. So I don't know how good this is going to turn out. But the Hero 5 is, again, 4K footage up to 30 frames per second. And it's also incorporating the Hero 4 silver touchscreen as part of the design. But let me see, what's the price on this bad boy going to be? It's probably about the same price. Do they list it? No, I don't see the price in the article, but I'm sure it's going to be $395 or $495. But, you know, if you're in the market for one of these action cameras, there are alternatives now. You know, you don't have to be stuck with just going with a GoPro. And I'll have a link up to the article that talks about the Nikon cameras, these action cameras by them, and the GoPro Hero 5 as well. So, that'll be up in the show notes tonight at geekandcentral.com. You know, I had never been on jet.com. You know, that's, you know, I shop on Amazon and a variety of different places, but you know, they were a sleeper to me, a sleeper company. When Walmart closed today, their $3.3 billion deal for jet.com, where they're paying jet.com $3 billion in cash. And they're giving $300 million in a stock to its owners. You know, Walmart's got a lot of catch-up to do at this point. Amazon is, in my opinion, probably hurting them a big, big, big time. I was talking to someone at the airport. I don't know how we got on the topic of Amazon, but the one lady says, I'm ordering groceries from Amazon now. And I'm just like, what kind of groceries? And she was just going down through this list, this checklist of stuff she's buying online. She said, I don't have to go to the grocery store. They deliver it via UPS. So it costs me nothing to have it. It comes, you know, it's just like shopping, but, you know, at the grocery market, but cheaper. So I said, what are you buying at the grocery store? She said, all I'm buying now is vegetables and meat. And she says, I actually go to Costco for meat, and I go to the farmer's market for vegetables. And in Hawaii, we haven't been buying, you know, we've bought a few things from Amazon that was food-related, but she gave me the impression that they're just buying everything. And I was pretty shocked. Now, you know, Walmart and their superstores, half grocery store, half regular shopping store with, you know, regular consumer items, they must be getting hurt to spend $3.3 billion for this online site. But the deal is done. So the deal's closed, and we'll see what Walmart does with this property. Have an HP printer? Have you been buying off-brand printer ink cartridges? I do. Well, I didn't notice it on my machine, so maybe my machine was not one of the ones affected, but HP sent out an update to a large number of its printers, and what happened was the firmware update is causing non-HP cartridges to be reported as damaged. So after September 12th, if your printer is not working, if you're getting a damaged cartridge update, just be advised that it's HP's fault. They are really cracking down, trying to get people to buy their ink. And why? Ink is a huge, 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 huge part of their business. And they don't like these third-party cartridges going into their machines because they lose out big time. You know, here's my advice to HP. Bring your ink pricing down to a reasonable level. It shouldn't cost me $100 to replace four cartridges in my printer. Now, granted, I do a fair amount. My kids do a fair amount of printing. My wife does. I don't do as much. I do mostly digital documents now. But, you know, I got kids in college. They're printing term papers. You know, everything, you know, that machine's getting a workout. And probably, you know, with the college students, I'm probably going through a ream of paper maybe every 6 weeks. So, you know, 500 pages every 6 weeks. It could be anything from graphics to just text. So, you know, I'm doing a couple of cartridge replacements a year. Now, I know most of you probably don't go through that much ink, but it's enough to be noticeable. And if you can save $30, $40 and buy third-party ink, it's fantastic. And usually the quality is just as good. So if HP is going to, and on the, I'll say this, the ink cartridge providers, they are working to work around this new firmware update. So I'm sure they'll be back in business soon. But this is going to continue to be a cat and mouse type of a deal. I'd rather pay a little bit more for my printer up front with the right to be able to put whatever ink in it that I want. Well, this past weekend, of course, this situation in New York, and actually the bombing that took place in New Jersey, New York and New Jersey, they initiated, and I'm sure many of you have gotten these on your phones, Amber Alerts, different types of weather alerts. Well, New York's use of the phone alert shine spotlight on wireless emergency system. Nearly 2 million people received the alert across the city in the boroughs and in New Jersey with a emergency alert that said wanted Ahmad Khan Rahmani, aged a 28-year-old male, seen media for pictures, call 911 if seen. So essentially they've told everyone, 2 million people, instantly that there was someone that was wanted, and most people could go online then and look at the picture of this individual. And it turns out that a bar owner I don't know if he knew it was him initially, but they called authorities and they end up nabbing this guy. So I think the power here is it's pretty obvious that these alerts have some effect. Now, the messages have fallen into three broad categories that are being sent out. Imminent threats such as severe weather or any other emergency as determined by approved authorities, amber alerts, and of course, presidential messages during a national emergency. And these are being used quite a bit. I get them in Hawaii for weather alerts or if there's a suspicion of an earthquake somewhere and they're concerned that there might be a tsunami watch or something issued. I get those on my phone in Hawaii so that, you know, they're pretty utilized. And I think most of us have that turned on our phones or we get it by default. So, you know, I'm just kind of curious from the audience how many you're getting and if it's being effective for you and from a weather or from a, you know, is it making you aware of what's going on in your communities? Excuse me here. Runny nose for some reason. And I didn't even drink a Red Bull tonight. Hey, a gentleman was arrested in Poland, and we talked about this on a previous show. He was the operator of the Kick-Ass Torrent website. Well, they're trying to extradite him to the United States, as they often do, to face charges here. Apparently, he's got an American attorney already, but it's been 2 months, and this guy is still not able to talk to, you know, the person that's in, I don't know if he's in a Polish jail. I don't know if it's the Polish authorities that's not allowing him to talk to his American defense counsel. He is being able to talk to his Polish lawyer, but the lawyers here in the United States are upset that they have not been able to have discussions with this individual on his extradition process. So I don't know. I don't know what the – I guess it would be on the – I can't imagine the United States being able to block that. It would be probably the Polish government that would be blocking his access, I would think. So it's interesting that in this case, at least, that this guy is not even able to talk to his lawyer, at least his American lawyer. All right, I'm going to talk about Uber just a little bit. You know, I use Uber a lot. I love it. I got some friends that drive for it. You know, they're always bragging about, hey, I made $350 this weekend. And I'm sure sometimes that number is inflated a little bit, but you know, take them at their word. But there was a rapper, an older gentleman, rapper UNC Emo. He's sixty years old, and he's been very open about the fact that he smokes a certain kind of medicine for his bad knee. Well, I have no idea who this guy is, but this dude's up on Facebook doing Facebook Live, and you know, he's got his little pipe thing going. He asks the Uber driver if he can smoke, and I'm sure the Uber driver's like, "Yeah, you can smoke." Well, I don't think he knew he was going to be smoking weed. So the Uber driver flips out and kicks him out of his car. I think if I'm an Uber driver and someone gets in my car and they ask me if they can smoke, you know, the answer is going to be no. You can't smoke in my car. And I think even if I had allowed someone to smoke in my car and they started smoking weed in my car, that would be like, yep, you're out of here. So it's a interesting video. I'll have a link in the show notes to show you. Uber backs a driver up, says the Uber driver can terminate a ride at any time. So if you next time you get in an Uber car, not the time to get token up, okay? Hey, did George R.R. Martin just give a hope for the Game of Thrones prequel? Maybe. He hinted that there might be some spinoffs or some sort of prequel. I am a big fan of Game of Thrones. It's probably the only television show, a series that I have watched in many, many years besides Lost that I would want to be, you know, watching it when it first came out. So, you know, we only got a couple seasons left of Lost before they get to the conclusion here. but some sort of prequel type of series, I think would be awesome. I really, really, really do. So we'll see what happens here. All right, I got to touch an iPhone 7 on Friday. We got to play with one. I was a little underwhelmed. The button on it, it really isn't a button anymore. It's got that haptic feedback. The screen was beautiful, as as everyone expects. Thin, and I just saw a regular iPhone 7. I didn't see the Plus. Nice camera, obviously. I probably played with it for 20 minutes or so. And it pretty nice, but to me, to be honest with you, I've got an iPhone 6 Plus, and I just didn't feel the urge. You know how you are when you see a gadget and you touch it and you look at it and you play with it and you're like, I gotta have this. You know, that instant, rationalization starts to happen on, can I afford this? If you haven't had your prior phone too long, you're trying to figure out, are you in a period where you can upgrade? You're trying to use all that stuff. You're trying to talk yourself into it. I didn't have that urge to talk myself into it. Now, like the Hero 5, I got a little twinkling of urge. I think I've got two Hero 3s. They're perfectly good GoPros. They're fantastic. Do I need a 4K Hero 5? Yeah, really. But I see them, get a little bit of that urge. I have to, resist the force, because I'll be wanting to buy a couple. Didn't feel that way with the iPhone 7. So love to hear guys' feedback too on whether or not you're using the, if you upgraded the iPhone 7, and what do you think? Talk me into it. All right, there's a good article on Wired talking about how police trace cell phones in IEDs like the ones in New York City. So pretty interesting read here. Because Chris, my son, was going to stay with his brother, up to this point, I have not gotten Chris a phone. But because his brother's going to be coming from the college, and sometimes Chris is in cello practice, or he's in doing cross country, or might be at volleyball, my son is not 100% up to speed on the schedule. So I went down to Radio Shack, and I walked in, and I told the lady, I need a burner phone. And the lady looked at me like, what are you talking about? I said, I need a burner phone, I need a prepaid phone. Oh, and she's kind of looking at me kind of funny. And I said, I know, it's just slang, and I was kind of surprised she didn't know. So I went over the rack, $79, it was the cheapest one they had. And I got a month plan for it so that he could, the main thing was with just him and his brother in Hawaii, number one, I wanted a way to be able to reach him. Number two, I want to have a way for him to reach his brother. And then I put in his phone, I preloaded our neighbor's number, the aunties, the uncles, all the people that he could dial a friend if he needed to. And, with the understanding that after 1 month, this phone won't be recharged and we'll be back in a situation where, dad's going to know where he's at. So during this purchasing of this burner phone, I knew that they were going to need an ID, but I just kind of held back. I wanted to see how the process went. And she got all the way through to the point where I was getting ready to activate. She says, okay, I need your ID. So in the United States, if you're buying it from a reputable company, and if you're the first, the first person to purchase this, you're going to have to provide your ID to get it. So in this day and age, let's be honest with, all the police have to do is go to the companies with a warrant, and they're going to find out, how that phone was purchased, it's all of its information. They're going to be able to get cell tower logs, everything they need to basically track down the individual that used it. So that's what they did. And this Wired article goes into that information. So, you know, because cell phones have a ringer in them, essentially what these guys do is they, you know, they use the ringer as the detonator activator. And then just they dial the phone, and the seconds it rings, boom, you know. So they basically trace this guy back through these burner phones. So pretty good write-up on Wired.com. So I have that link up in the show notes for you. Also, police, a couple of police officers are in trouble. They were trying to get a gentleman from stopping to record them. They had a sobriety checkpoint going up. The guy was standing like a quarter mile down the street, letting them know that there, you know, there was a sobriety checkpoint ahead. You got to love a person that does that, right? And giving them opportunity to get off that street. Well, the police didn't like that too much, so they retaliated against this protester. But he left his phone running, left the recorder running on the phone. So they he caught the two police officers talking about, you know, what kind of charges should we do to make it stick? Well, these guys are now underneath a lawsuit. If you know, it just kind of it makes you go just a little bit. But anyway, this guy's civil rights apparently have been abused here, and he's got these two police officers talking on the camera about it that they didn't know was running. Oh, there's a small situation, too, for some iPhone 7 users. It's making a hissing sound. Yeah, hissing, H-I-S-S-I-N-G, sound under load. So if you have that problem, you need to get your phone back to the to Apple to do an exchange. They will be more than willing to change it out, I've heard, okay? So if you run into that problem, just be aware. Also, Twitter's, as promised, has changed up the rules for 140 characters. So you can go crazy adding photos, videos, and GIFs to your tweets now. They won't count against your total. I love this. I love to be able to be, and also I think your media link isn't going to count either. So that's big news. Big news out of Twitter. We kind of knew this was coming, but it has been confirmed. So just be aware of that when you're out doing some tweets and scheduling stuff. Samsung is saying they may not resume Galaxy Note 7 sales for over a month. They made an announcement in the gate boarding area and on the airplane for both flights, telling any Samsung Galaxy Note 7 owners to turn off their phones and do not charge them during flight, and not to turn them off and to turn them on until they left the aircraft. So talk about a negative advertisement going on for Samsung on every American flight. But big you know, and it was actually, I saw on the airport boarding monitors the same notice being put out. You know, folks that build model aircraft, they spend a lot of time replicating the look and feel and characteristics of, you know, modern aircraft. So a 1-2 scale, this is huge. This is a huge fighter jet. Saw its demise with the tail coming off. And your heart breaks for these, because you know there's a lot of money, time, oh my God, huge amount of time, and to see it break up midair was pretty incredible. It was pretty catastrophic. So I have a link up in the show notes for those of you that do a model aircraft or interested in seeing this video. You'll just cringe when you see this thing bust up, because it bust up in a hurry. The CEO of Lyft, actually the Lyft co-founder, and those of you that live in urban areas, let's say major metropolitan areas, they feel that urban car ownership will soon die. They feel that those that live in urban areas will likely continue to, there'll be a huge decline in the number of car owners because of Uber and because of Lyft. So, you know, I don't know about that, to be honest with you. We love our vehicles. You know, we love the freedom of being able to just, you know, if I didn't have a car, for me to go and at the last minute on Saturday before I flew out to jump in the car and go down to the store and get that phone for my son and get back to the house in time to, you know, I just probably couldn't have done that if I didn't have a vehicle. It just wouldn't have been fast enough. I couldn't have got a car, you know, got down, you know, turn around, adds a little bit of time. But they seem to think that car ownership will soon die for folks that live in urban cities. So have any of you that live in a major metropolitan area that have a car today, have you considered get rid of it because of the convenience of Uber and Lyft? Are you going to save money doing that? When you think about how much you pay for insurance, how much you pay for gas, how much you pay, you know, on the monthly depreciation on a vehicle, even if you pay cash for it, you're still out of pocket X number of thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars. That's probably a lot of Uber and Lyft rides, but I just wonder, what do you guys think? Do you think you'll be out of a vehicle at some point soon? I'd love to hear your comments, geeknews@gmail.com, okay? All right, for those of you that use Waze, Waze is now giving you parking advice. Now the Directions app will also find you the best parking by price and location. So if you're using Waze a lot, do the update. You're going to be able to do that with the app. And I look forward to using that in downtown Honolulu and downtown Waikiki. Also today, Google announced or released something. It's called Google Trips. And man, it's like getting the rave reviews all over the internet. It's according to The Verge and Gizmodo and everyone else, it's a killer travel app for the modern tourist. I use TripIt right now. That's the service that I use to track all my flights, hotels. It's simple. I just put my booking codes in or send an email of a reservation and bam, it updates. But they're saying Google Trips is for a multi-city vacation planning is fantastic. It's a good trip planner and travel guide. So it's available for Android and iOS. So I'll definitely be checking it out. But if you've got a trip coming up, definitely try Google Trips. For those of you that still are fanatics about full-body DSLR cameras, Panasonic has come out with the GH5 and G85 Lumix. L-U-M-I-X model, and this is a real video-centric DSLR. It's gotten some really, really good reviews here. So 4K video, of course, included. I definitely have a link up in the show notes for you to check it out. At the same time, there's a new site called iFixit, iFixit.com. And maybe this site's been out for a while, but if you bust a screen or a variety of different, you know, if you break some of your electronics gear, they've got videos and parts to buy to be able to fix it yourself instead of taking it back to the manufacturer. And they have a repair guide for everything written by everyone. Now, I bought a tool set. Matter of fact, two tool sets with all the special screws and adapters. They've got two that are really well priced. They've got a ProTech Quote Toolkit for $69.95, and they have a 64-bit driver kit for $34.95. If you are even thinking about doing any self-repair on any of modern electronics today, this about $100 investment, $105 investment, it would be worth its weight in gold because it's got all the small screw tips and adapters that you're going to need to bust down an iPhone or iMac or, you know, whatever you're trying to break into. Like this Mac that I've got with me right now that's right here, without that special toolkit, it would have been very difficult to change the spinner drive to a solid-state drive. So there's an opportunity here for you to pick up these toolkits at a very inexpensive price, and then just definitely check out what they've got here for parts and services. If you want to replace your own screen, tutorials and everything else, so iFixit.com is the website. Also, there's a great review of, and this is a professional photographer, and it's at AustinManWith2Ns.com. Talks about his South Africa trip with a iPhone 7. Actually, it was in Rwanda, excuse me. And these images look like they've come off a DSLR. Really incredible photos. I'm just, to be honest with you, quite amazed that these came off an iPhone. The DSLR market is in big, big trouble. Big trouble. A link will be up in the show notes on this. If you have a hard floor surface in your home, aka no carpet, I really like Anker's products. I've bought a number of Anker rechargeable batteries and so forth, but Anker has a new RoboVac, very competitively priced, $200. But you can save $50 off the RoboVac 20, which is a souped-up version of the popular Anker RoboVac 10. So RoboVac 20 runs twice as long on its battery. Okay, it's furtherwise it's except very with the mid-level Roombas, but at $250, it's some far more. So yeah, $250 with a $50 coupon. So if you're looking for one of these devices and could not afford a Roomba before, I'm a big fan of Anker, and I'm sure you've got a pretty good product there. So a link will be up in the show notes. Also, GoPro, along with the Hero 5, announced their $799 foldable Karma drone. So this is a pretty slick little drone, and it's got a gyro base to hold the camera. So I'm definitely going to be looking into this particular drone. If you buy it with a Hero 5, obviously it's $1,099 because you're going to have to buy the camera with it. But anyway, this is available, the GoPro $799 foldable Karma drone. If you got a Hero 4 or Hero 3, don't worry, the camera will work with that as well. All right. Oh, another iPhone 7 bug. No service bug. And actually, I've had this happen to my iPhone 6 recently a little bit. But just all of a sudden, it says no service. And this particular bug is happening when you come out of airplane mode into, regular reception mode. Mine has just been happening randomly. So I had actually popped out the SIM card, wiped it against my shirt. Probably shouldn't have done that from a static electricity standpoint, but stuck it back in, and I've seemed to kind of solve my issue. But if you're having a no service issue with the iPhone 7, that is a known bug that's being a problem out there. And finally, in cameras tonight, the Xiaomi back mirrorless camera gives you a Leica look for about $330. So a Chinese phone here, but gotten some pretty good reviews, and it definitely looks like a Leica. So it comes with a couple different lenses. I have the link up in the show notes for you to check it out. All right, I think that's it for tonight. I did get a number of emails from you. Let me see if I can get those loaded here before we bounce out. How are we doing for time? I'm doing good on time. I know some of you have emailed Shoko directly, giving her words of condolences, but we did get a number of folks that had emailed. Let's see here. My nose is really running. Jack had actually said something about my pop filter, and Jack, I had put it back on for the last episode. He said, Todd, the only issue I noticed with your removal of the spit filter on your mic is an occasional vocal pop. On the other hand, your voice seems a bit more clear. I don't know that you need the spit or pop filter. With today's microphones, you can get just as good sound if you position a mic off the side of your mouth. This concept is used by every stage professional with a head-mounted headphones. In fact, those microphones are up to 180 degrees off axis. I would recommend start the mic pointed directly at your mouth, and depending on the characteristics of your mic, I would suggest you try to position between 45 and 90 degrees to the side of your face. At this position, you could almost touch the corner of your mouth to the front of the mic with no pops. The result may vary with mic characteristics. Good luck. I hope this works for you. It is free to try. That is for sure, Mike, Jack. But you know what happens? I'm so used to being head on to that mic. When I move it to the side a little bit to get a little bit off axis, I end up moving my head. It's just, you know, being in that front of that mic for so many years, that's a hard thing to break. The easier thing for me was to put the pop filter back in front. And that way, my standoff was, you know, about 2 inches too close. So I have to retrain myself without that to just back off the mic a couple of inches. Jack, thanks for your note to Shoko. I appreciate that. Stuart, thank you for your note. Jim, thank you for your note as well. And then a few came in that asked not to be read on the air. So I appreciate your the notes as well that have come in. So I think that wraps up the number of emails. Again, we just did Facebook Live with no, I mean, just using the Mac camera and built-in microphone. So I hope it was good enough for you. Of course, the show tonight was recorded on my Zoom H6. So that audio should be really decent for those of you that are listening post-show. Haven't been watching the Facebook comments very much. Let me come back to that. Oh, yeah. Does the Mevo cam work with anything or just Facebook? You can use the Mevo cam with live stream or with Facebook. I didn't bring the Mevo cam with me, and I actually kicking myself in the butt for that, Baron. I should have done so. Let's see here. Who else here? Dan, thanks for the welcome back. And Dan T, thank you for talking about your Insta Ink saving you money. Let's see here. Who else? There was some other notes here. Hey, Brent, hello. And, oh, sounds and looks great. So, Jean, thank you so much as well. Toby, Mike, and the rest. Oh, Mike, Karen, Randall, Jody, Addie, Toby, Andrew, Kathy, and Dan, all thanks for watching the live show tonight on Facebook. It helps if I'm on a, you know, on a time zone where everyone else can be at. And yes, you get to see my hotel room. I'm staying at a Town Place Suites. I'm not going to be here long enough to use the kitchen, but this thing's got a full-size or mini refrigerator, dishwasher, stove, regular sink. TV's a little bit small. Bathroom's not great. Where I'm staying at here in D.C., can't beat it, $91. So it's normally like $170, $180 to stay in the D.C. area, so no complaints. But anyway, I hope you guys had fun with the show tonight. I'll be back. I'll probably do the same thing on Thursday. I think I'll be in Atlanta on Thursday. So anyway, everyone take care. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to Geek News Central. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show today, geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, I'm off. I'm back on Facebook, so the purgatory is no longer in effect. Facebook.com/Cochran. Yes, will the real Todd Cochran please stand up? You know, this music line that goes along with that. So that just got stuck in your head for the next week. All right, everyone. We'll see you next time. Everyone, take care. Aloha.